Welcome to the Baby Weight Podcast, brought to you by Omaha Better Birth Project. Omaha Better Birth Project is a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to decrease inequities in childbirth by providing access to doula services, childbirth education, and prenatal and postpartum support for low-income and teen families. Find out more about Omaha Better Birth Project online at www.omahabetterbirth.org. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Sam and Emily here, and today we are joined by Michelle. Michelle is a mom of two little ones from right here in Omaha, and today she's going to share the story of the birth of her second baby with us. A little background, Michelle's first birth was an unmedicated hospital birth, and for her second pregnancy, Michelle chose to plan a home birth. Before we dive in, I want to add one trigger warning. There will be discussion of a transfer to the NICU after birth.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for joining us. We are excited to hear about your birth story. This is our first home birth story that we've had on our podcast, so that's exciting for us. So can you tell us a little bit about your pregnancy, kind of what led you down the road to choose a home birth?
Okay, so I'll preface it with saying I had a home birth for my second birth. And my first birth, I was very informed and wanted to go fully natural, picked a midwife. You know, I had doula training before, so I knew what I was getting into, so I thought. And things did not go as I had hoped they would go. And so that kind of made me go down this path for the second time around. And I had a very easy pregnancy. I love being pregnant.
Yeah.
Like my favorite thing. So, and I had known a bunch of people that have had home births, in Nebraska. And so that helped too, like kind of being in the circle with people and having those experiences. Plus I'm a birth photographer. So I've taken photos at, you know, many different kinds of births, and I really wanted to experience a home birth for myself.
Yeah, home birth in Nebraska is a difficult thing to navigate. Would you say that, yeah, you had to rely a lot on the people you knew who had home births to kind of help you, guide you through that process?
Yes. I mean, you definitely have to know the right people to get the type of care. Now, that being said, you can get or you can do an unassisted home birth in Nebraska. That just wasn't something that me and my family were open to choosing. But a lot of people do, and that's great for them. But, and also it's not illegal to have a home birth in Nebraska. I know a lot of people are confused by the law. But the law basically just states that certified nurse midwives cannot attend, and that means that there's other types of midwives who are trained, can attend. Right. And so that's kind of what we took. We had a midwife who was trained as a midwife and actually practiced as a midwife in a different state. She just mm-hmm. couldn't practice here with the type of certifying. So,
yeah,
if you don't know the right people, I think it's definitely probably a hard way, like a lot of people don't know that you can have a home birth here.
Right.
Right. That's not how it's portrayed. Yeah. So
this was your second pregnancy and birth, but did you do any sort of childbirth education or did you hire a doula? I know you said you had some doula training yourself.
So we did childbirth ed for our first baby. Mm-hmm. And I had two doulas.
Yeah.
And then this time we, did not do childbirth ed. I kind of knew more what was going on and kind of found out the first time around that, like, my husband, love him, he's great, but like, I don't want him to help me in labor.
That's not uncommon.
Right. Yeah. I don't want you. And it helped too that since we were home, I wanted him to like take on more the role of like taking care of our first, mm-hmm. who was 3, like had just turned 3 at the time and was still like pretty mama's boy. And like, I didn't want him to be with a stranger and or with anyone else. But like, so my husband took that role on, and we did not have a doula per se. But my friend Jessie was there. I don't ever call it Jessie, but Jess Goswick was there, and she, like, me and her are like BFFs. So she knew exactly what I needed. All my birth pictures, like, she's holding me. So, yeah. So she was my doula.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that.
So let's dive into when labor began. When did you notice any contractions? And what did the beginning of labor look like for you?
So the beginning of labor was so crazy because I woke up on what was technically, it gets confusing, right? When after you hit midnight, you're like, wait, it's next day. It was technically Saturday morning at like 2 or so in the morning. And I was leaking fluid. And I got up to go to the bathroom a couple of times and was like, wow, my underwear is wet again. Wow, my underwear is wet again. And finally, after like the fourth time, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm probably leaking fluid. Like,
I'm not probably peeing myself that much yet.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And I mean, it was, yeah. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. I was only 38 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So I was kind of mad because I wanted those extra couple of weeks to like get stuff like in order. And I had this whole list of stuff I wanted to do. And I was like, oh my gosh, like if I'm leaking fluid, like I'm going to have a baby real soon.
Yeah.
So thankfully I, you know, since we were having a home birth, it wasn't like, oh gosh, we need to go somewhere.
Right.
And I just kind of, I texted my midwife and said, hey, I think I'm leaking fluid, but nothing is happening. Absolutely zero was going on. And then just kind of went about my day, tried to get some stuff done.
Yeah.
So then into that next night, now this is where it gets confusing. I'm trying to remember my days right. So that's technically that was Sunday night or Sunday morning, right? Like went to bed Saturday night. So I was Sunday at 2 a.m. So I was wrong there. So then went to bed, nothing happened. And almost exactly at 24 hours later, I started having contractions. Like, okay, cool. This is it. This could be it. Like, let's do this.
Yeah.
And I had contractions pretty consistently for a few hours. Nothing too crazy. And then called my whole team over, right? Like, I called Jess over, called the midwives over, called my photographer and kicked my husband out of our room into our guest room. Cause that's like where I set up our labor stuff and tub, which was so dumb. Like, I don't know. Whatever. That was like such a bad plan. So then about, I don't know, whatever time my husband was getting up for work, things had kind of spaced out a little bit to like 10 or so minutes. And then my son was awake and things spaced out even more. Mm-hmm. And finally at like 10 a.m., they were just super spaced out, like probably 20 or so minutes.
Wow.
And the worst part was, and I had never experienced this or saw anyone experience this, was every time I laid down, they got worse. Like they got closer together. And every time I stood up and tried to get them to go, they spaced out.
That's the opposite of what you usually see.
Yeah. The opposite. And it was so like, oh my gosh, well, I just want to rest. Then if like this isn't going to go anywhere, I'd rather rest. Well, then every time I laid down, it just turned into more. So.
Oh man.
We finally, yeah, it was not ideal. It wasn't terrible though. Like contractions weren't anything crazy. Like they hadn't gotten intense yet. So, I mean, intense to the point of like, you know, baby is about to be there.
Yeah.
So we finally decided at like 10 or so in the morning, you know what? We just need to, we're ditching this plan. Like the baby's not coming right now. We need to get out of the house. We need to, like, everyone needs to go away.
Oh, so, really? So you kind of, like, well, you know, put the brakes on for a minute and went back to your life as much as you could.
Yep, we put the brakes totally on. It was, so Piper was born October 13th, and so we went to the pumpkin patch.
Oh.
I was having contractions at the pumpkin patch probably every 15 or so minutes apart.
Yeah.
Which is about, just about a decent amount of time, but, like, also kind of an annoying amount of time.
Right.
Like, you're like, maybe they're done. Maybe they're going to fizzle all the way out. Nope, here's another one. Like, oh my gosh. So that was, I don't know. I don't even want to say annoying. It was just like, golly, like, either do something or stop. Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
And this whole, before the pumpkin patch, whatever time frame, we were taking my temperature and we were checking on baby and everything, you know, was good to go still. My fluid kind of stopped leaking and then it started again, but it was always clear and, you know, odorless. So we just, you know, forged forward.
Yeah.
As you do. So then I'm trying to think. Okay. So then after the pumpkin patch, and Jess and her kids came to the pumpkin patch, and my birth photographer and her kids came to the pumpkin patch. So, like, we kind of had a little, you know, field trip, birthday field trip.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It felt very Nebraska, like, very like fall.
Definitely.
Yeah, we're in the
Man, you would have given the pumpkin patch employees a run for their money if you'd had the baby there, though.
Right? It might have been so cool, though. Like, the lady that had her baby at the zoo.
Oh,
that
yeah. Oh, so you made it back home, though, eventually.
I officially made it back home. We got home. Me and my son took a nap together. Then it was just me and him at home, which was really nice because I was, like, if you have more than one kid, you just know that transition from one to two just really rocks your mama heart, and you're just like, oh, my gosh. Oh, they're not going to be my baby, and, like, are they going to be okay? Am I going to be okay? And so it was a sweet couple of hours of just us two. We took a nap, and we just kind of hung out, and my contractions were, you know, still doing the same, getting closer together when I lay down.
Oh, my
farther. And my husband got home from work, and we just, I was like, yeah, like, we're going to have a baby eventually, but I just don't really know when. So my midwife had stayed close because she lives kind of far away, and she said probably about, like, 8 or 9, she's like, you know, I'm just going to stay the night at your house if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling when things get going, you know, they're going to go real quick.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Right. Like, I said, yeah, I hope you're right. You know,
yeah.
Like, because oh. I wasn't scared per se, but I was definitely starting to feel the pressure of, like, okay, water's been broken for going on, you know, 30 something hours now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's next if, like, nothing happens? You know, like, I really don't want to go in. I really don't want to, you know, start getting risky territory. So at 10, well, I'll say 10:30 just for sake of, I don't remember exactly when, I called, well, a doula friend of mine called, and we had this very long, super emotional conversation about just having a second baby. She's had a home birth before. Kind of just about not wanting to be a home birth headline here, and just kind of, I basically released all my fears on her, stuff that I wouldn't say to anyone else in my birth team because I didn't want it to come true.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to have people think that I was thinking that like I was afraid of those things happening. And mm-hmm. so I kind of just released that all to her and had a contraction, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to go because I feel so much better. I know what's going to happen. I either
a safe place
like,
that sort of built up emotion that was sitting on you.
totally. And I was like, okay, I know what's going to happen. I'm either going to go and take the best nap ever or stuff is going to go down. And I naively thought that I was going to get a nap. So I hung up the phone with her and was like, I know I have a solid 15 minutes to try to sleep right before my next contraction.
Uh-huh.
So I lay down, and no joke, 10 minutes later, contraction. 10 minutes later, contraction. I was like, oh no, what have I done? Right? Like, I think I might have made a mistake releasing all of my emotions.
Yeah.
Right? Like, here we go. Oh man, and it's like, I don't even know how to explain it, but when they say, like, oh, you know, you'll know, I just knew. And so I did a couple of contractions laying in our bed, and then I finally had to get up.
Mm-hmm.
Came in our spare room, had a couple more contractions, and they were getting closer, you know. Then they'd be eight, a couple at 8 minutes, a couple at 7 minutes, and my midwife actually got up because she heard me in here starting to moan through contractions and starting to kind of be like, oh, my goodness. And I called Jess and was like, you got to come right now. Like, you need to be here. Which, yeah, thankfully, she lives a few minutes away. So she probably got here at like 11:30. This is, Monday, 11:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So she gets here and we're downstairs and things are, you know, just going. Like, contractions are coming and they are strong, yeah, and kind of in that, like, oh man, is this a good idea? What are we in the right, like, did I make the right choice kind of feeling? And then so we called my photographer a million times. Of course, she like wasn't answering. So then I was freaking out. Like, oh, she has to be here. Because I, you know, have these grand plans of like what our home birth pictures are going to look like and yada, yada. So finally Jess had the genius idea to like FaceTime her because, you know, it rings different. It has like a different ringtone. And that, then she did answer that. So that was good.
Oh, good.
Then we had to kick Joey and Reed out of our bedroom, right? Because that's where the birth tub is.
Yeah.
We had to get the birth tub filled because it wasn't filled at that point. And we had to like always try that stuff out, which I knew we should have, but we had to connect it to the shower because it wouldn't connect to the faucet.
Oh, shoot.
Which was fine. Like, it ended up being fine, but it was kind of just like a stressful feeling of like, okay, so I really want to have a water birth for my own, you know, like pleasure, whatever you want to say, you know, for my own pain.
Yeah,
yes. So we got that going. Joey went back to bed. I was like, I don't need you. I'm like, I'm fine, clearly. And then all of a sudden I was like kneeling in our bedroom and I could feel her just like drop down.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I don't think I'm ready for this next part. Like, and my photographer wasn't there yet. And I was like, you guys, I'm not getting in the tub until Allison gets here. Thankfully, right as I was saying that, like, she actually was walking in the door. So then it was like a matter of, okay, I should get in the tub. Like, this hurt. I'm tired. Like, let's get in the water and have a baby. This sounds like a great plan.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't move. I couldn't make my legs walk me to the tub. I was like, you guys, I'm trying so hard. So they helped me get up and we get to the birth tub, like right next to it. And they're tall. They're like high.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, I can't, like, I cannot lift my legs.
No.
I can't do it. So I said to him, I said a lot of funny stuff, and I remember it all. It's ridiculous. I was like, just push me in, I'll hold my breath. Like, it's fine. Because I just couldn't, like, my brain to, like, physical communication just was not working. I couldn't get it to go. I don't know if that's normal, but it was weird.
It was so finally occupied, yeah.
Yes, right? So I get in the tub. They did not push me in. I lifted my leg, got in just fine. And that was like, oh my gosh, so relieving. I wish I had been in there like prior to that moment, but
oh yeah,
once I was in there, it felt so great.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact time I got in there, but it was probably around like one-ish in the morning. So not very much longer after, I was like, hey, stuff's going down.
Was water the only sort of pain management technique that you used?
Was getting the tub, yeah. I mean, we did a lot of, like, movement and just did some hip squeezes.
Okay.
But, yeah, other than that, it was, yeah, and it felt so good. Like, that hot, hot water was such great pain relief. Like, it just felt so good. And kind of the float to let your, your like, tenseness just ease up.
Yeah.
So I get in the tub. And I'm like, okay, like, this, you know, you kind of have, like, these moments of, like, this isn't really going to happen, but, like, this was going to happen. And as soon as I'm, like, coming to terms with that aspect of it, I have a, like, a fetal ejection reflex contraction.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Okay, those are insane. It is straight up, like, throwing up the other way.
That's what, like, I've heard. I've never experienced it myself, but I've heard that, and they say it's the strangest feeling in the world. Yeah.
Strangest feeling in the whole world, and it feels very out of control, right? Because, like, you're not in control of it at all. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, of course, after that point, I felt so much pressure on my bum. And I was like, well, I need a warm compress for my butthole. Like, I just blew my butthole out. Like, I can feel it. Like, and they're like, okay, you're seriously fine. Like, calm down. I don't know if you could tell, but I'm slightly dramatic. And I talk a lot. So I'm, like, talking a lot. And I'm holding this rag on my butt the whole time. Like, I can't let it go. And at one point, I was like, can't someone else hold my butthole? And they're like, no. Like, we can't. Like, I switched from all fours, like, onto my back. So, like, no one else could have held it for me. Like, it was just going to have to be me.
Yeah.
And my husband wanted no part of getting in the tub.
Yeah.
He was like, absolutely not. Which I don't blame him. Like, it is kind of gross. So, things, obviously, the baby is dropped down, and you can feel every moment of that, which is such a crazy feeling. I mentioned that I didn't get the birth I wanted with my son, but I had an extremely, high doped up epidural. So I couldn't feel anything. I couldn't feel pressure. I couldn't feel anything with him. So this was such a different feeling, like feeling her drop down at every point. And she finally kind of started, you know, making her way. And I was like, okay, this is hurting. Like I said, I was being extremely dramatic. Like, okay, get her out. I'm done. Screaming, mind you, these things. And I was like trying to just let my body push and let my body do it. And then finally I was like, okay, I'm pushing with these contractions because I don't want to wait anymore. I'm over it. Like, I just want to have my baby. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So I started pushing and, screaming at them to just get her out of me already. And like, I want to be done.
That's when you know it's close.
Yep. Oh my gosh, right? Like, thank goodness, because when I watched the video back, I'm like, wow, it really sounds like I'm in peril, but like, I swear I was fine. Like, yeah. I swear I was okay. Mm-hmm. And then finally, like, they're like, do you want to feel her head? Do you want to feel her head? You know, like, her head is right there. And that moment with my son was such a, like, I loved that moment of feeling his head down there. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't, because I couldn't let go of my butt. And I was holding on to the tub to, like, steady myself. I was like, I can't.
Oh, no.
So that was ridiculous. Like,
oh,
bless. Someone probably should have just, like, taken my hand off of my own butt. Like, let's
right.
be real. Because now every picture that, like, looks so good is just me with, you can tell I'm holding my whole, my butt. So finally her head comes out, and then her shoulders, you know, shortly follow. She kind of shot right on out,
yeah.
Which again, craziest feeling ever. Like, wow. I don't even know how to describe it, but like, it was so cool just to feel the difference between her head and then her shoulders. And like, it was so slippery feeling, and just like, she shot just straight on out and, you know, came right up to me and was super vernixy, because right, she was only 38 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like vernix was coming off in the pool. It was all smushed all over Jess's fingers, like a huge chunk of it.
Aww.
It was, and her little ears were like tri-folded because the cartilage hadn't formed like at all.
Oh.
So yeah, and it was, I mean, that's like one of the best feelings, right? Like, she came out and I was like, okay, I did it. Like, it's over.
Yes.
So you think.
Right.
So you think, man. Then I started having contractions to get the placenta out, and they sucked. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that they were going to be so painful and so intense. I was, like, kind of mad.
What? Seriously?
Everyone you see is like, you're going to be so, you know, in bliss with your baby, and you're going to be so, you know, in love. You're not going to notice. No, I noticed, and I was not happy. Like, and of course, so we got out of the tub. Piper started kind of having some breathing things going on, like, pretty straight away. And so we got out of the tub, and I'm having these contractions, and I seriously was like, what in the world is happening? Like, why is it hurting so bad? Mm-hmm. And we let her cord pulsate for 30 minutes. So that's how long she needed, which makes sense with, like, her breathing stuff, right? Like, she needed the oxygen from my placenta, which is fine. But I just kept saying, like, okay, she needs to be done now. Like,
yeah.
I'm done. My placenta needs to detach. It needs to come out. I'm over it. Like,
yeah.
We done now. And it did finally come out. And, of course, that's, like, probably one of the messiest slash, like, right, bloodiest parts, and I'm on our bed with, like, a shower curtain down.
Yeah. Yep.
My poor husband was just like, okay.
What's happening?
Yeah, not ideal.
Yeah.
But it came out, you know, all intact, all great.
Good.
I'm happy we let her get all her blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously I didn't want to delay that. Or I did want to delay that. I didn't want to stop her from getting her oxygen and blood.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And once that came out, that, you know, was obviously a relief for me. And then we could, like, I could focus more on her and kind of, like, figure out, okay, how do I help you figure out what you got going on? She was really squeaky. She was really, like, you'll have to Google laryngomalacia and hear these, like, weird goosey noises that these babies make. It's very, like, weird. Oh, I don't know how to. And I'm not going to.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. And typically, babies don't present with it for a couple weeks after they're born, sometimes a couple months. And so she was just squeaky, and then she was very fluid-filled. We're not quite sure if it's because she came so quickly, right? Like,
yeah,
probably full-blown. Yeah. Yeah, like active labor was like 11:30. She was born at 1:53 a.m. So, like, it was swift. So we did a lot of stimulation on her. We did some postural drainage. The midwife did end up using the Ambu bag a couple of times and did some like mouth-to-mouth breaths to just kind of help her open her little alveoli, mm-hmm. right? That's what they're called, your little lung sac. Yep. And all the whole time, you know, she looked great. She never, you know, lost color or anything. She was nice and pink. She was really quiet. She like didn't cry very much. And I nursed her a little bit, and then she kind of squeaked again. And then we like kept messing with her, and I nursed her again, and she kept squeaking again. And so finally we made the call to bring her in. Yeah. Which
how were
we
you
can omit that story. No.
You just gave birth.
What?
How were you feeling at this point? Like physically, you just gave
honestly,
birth.
I felt so good. It was
that's wonderful.
Like, yeah, I was on like such a birth high,
mm-hmm.
and like physically down there, I only had a tiny little bit of a tear.
Mm-hmm.
We went in. It was probably like I think 3 or 4 hours after she was born that we ended up going in.
Okay.
And I was fine. Like, I got up, I walked to the car.
Yeah.
I felt so good that when we brought her into the ER, they were like, how old's the baby? I'm like, she's like 3 hours old. And they're like, I'm sorry, what? Like,
how was
come
that
again?
To the hospital? Because, you know, because Nebraska has such restrictions on home birth, when you have to make a transfer, you hear that it can be kind of complicated or stressful. How was that?
Mm-hmm. It was not ideal.
Right.
I will say that. We probably chose the wrong hospital to go to.
Okay.
In hindsight, right? Like, I would have done things different after they had played out. But in my head, I was just thinking, we're just going to go get her checked out. She's clearly fine. Right? Like,
yeah.
We just want to double check that she's fine, and then we're going to just go home.
Right.
That's kind of what we were all anticipating. And so the ER doctor was less than kind about the home birth situation. He said some pretty not nice things, that had I not been in such a birth high and, like, so excited that I had done it and, like, right, you know, kind of, not in mama bear, like, fight mode,
right?
That he kind of got off easy. Because looking back, I could have probably gotten real sassy with him,
yeah.
Real swift. At one point, they needed to transfer her from that hospital down to Children's, and they weren't going to let me ride in the vehicle with her.
What?
Yes. So I was obviously distraught, and I told him, like, that is unacceptable, and he was like, well, that's what happens when you have a home birth.
I'm
like, no. So.
It doesn't matter if a minor should be able to ride with a parent.
Right.
Right. So, now, I was pissed, obviously. I was so upset about that. But then when the actual children's team came, because he gave me no explanation, right? He's just like, no, too bad. Well, I was like, we're just going to take her ourselves then. Like,
right.
Her O2 levels were what they were supposed to be. The NICU nurse came down and checked her out and said, oh, she sounds like she has laryngeal malacia.
Mm-hmm.
Her O2 level is fine.
Yeah.
They did a chest x-ray, right, because I told them my water was broken for X mm-hmm. amount of hours,
yeah.
Which, hindsight, probably shouldn't have told them, right? I would have kept that a secret. Next time around, I knew she didn't have an infection.
Yeah.
But they, of course, thought that was the case. And so they did an x-ray on her lungs and misread her x-ray and said that she had a big heart. Well, it was just that her lungs weren't fully inflated, so her heart looked big.
Oh.
Right? So they need to transport to Children's, which obviously I agreed to, thinking her heart was huge.
Yeah.
And when he said I couldn't ride, I was so mad, and I said, we're just going to take her then.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not happy with that and told us, well, she needs to be on oxygen, when she didn't, according to the NICU nurse.
Right.
So then the children's team, transport team came, and they are, you know, amazing, right? They are so good, and they're used to dealing with all sorts of tiny babies and all sorts of babies in way more distress than my baby was.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm riding with her. Like, I don't know who you think you are, but, like, you're not separating me from my hours-old infant. And they're like, so here's the thing. If you're X amount of hours postpartum, we can't take you in our ambulance because we don't have anything for you.
Oh.
So if you were to have a problem, we can't help you. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, okay, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, that sounds like a reasonable explanation.
Yes.
Totally. Yeah, that was a totally reasonable explanation. The ER doctor was just kind of a bad word that I won't say. Like, he just was not kind. And he was very, you know, obviously everything went fine. Like, my birth was fine. My labor was fine.
Yeah.
She didn't even need supplemental oxygen. Like, she was kind of fine. Like, we would have ended up having to take her in at some point with this laryngeal malacia issue she was having, but they just kind of made it very much more dramatic right from the get-go. And granted, they, you know, were obviously scared, right? A three-hour-old infant comes in with breathing issues. Everyone was freaked out.
Yeah.
They didn't know quite what to do, which is funny because they have a NICU, so, like, you think they would just be like, we'll let them handle this.
Yeah.
And I'm obviously the whole time like, hey, can I have a pad?
Yeah.
can I have a Perry bottle? I feel like I have some help here. I just had a baby.
Oh. So she got children. How long was she there for?
She ended up being there for 21 days.
Oh, my goodness.
It was. No, go out. It was a very long 21 days. Tell me later. Tell me later. Sorry. It was a very long 21 days because of the COVID restrictions. Like, our son couldn't come and meet her. And we ended up not waking him up after she was born because of, like, all the stuff going on. You know, obviously, we totally should have woken him up and let him meet her. But we thought we were just going to go and come back. So we didn't really plan that through. But that was really hard for all of us, for her to be there for so long. And they, you know, if you ever have a baby in the NICU and or anywhere, like, you just have to fight like heck for them to listen to you. And which is fine. Like, I was. They did not like me. I will just say that much. I was at every single round.
Yeah.
They do daily rounds. I was there every day, and I did a lot of research and asked a lot of questions. And they were like, do you have a medical background? I was like, no, I don't. Like, I just want you guys to do the right thing. So
yeah, that's your baby. Yeah.
Right. Right. And fortunately for us, I got to be there the whole time. I left, you know, a few times, but my husband got to take the time off. And that was,
that's good.
Yeah. I mean, a super blessing to us because I didn't want to leave her. And I was really happy that I had that opportunity to not have to leave her.
Yeah. So did you have, like, family and friends support at home during all of this and helping you get through
it? Yeah, I mean, it was mostly, like, my husband just kind of had to step up to the plate, right, become a stay-at-home dad, and Jess helped out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
that was the other thing that was so hard with like the COVID rules was, you know, no one could come up and sit with me. No one could be there like with me. And yeah, so like that was probably the worst part of it, just because it was kind of a silly, silly rule. I don't mean that, but just it was hard on a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going through this thing, and essentially you're trying to do it alone because of this. Mm-hmm. That's hard.
Right. And me and my husband were the only ones allowed in the room. Well, we just kept swapping off because, like, we didn't want the baby to be alone, and I didn't want, like, if I was going to leave, then I wanted to be with Reed, you know, because he was obviously, you know, thrown into a loop of things.
Yeah.
So, but overall, you know, people were like, well, you ended up in the hospital anyway, like, was the home birth even worth it? And, you know, kind of stuff like that, you know, because we had to pay out of pocket for the home birth. And
yeah.
I would 1 million times over do it again, even with the same outcome of ending up in the NICU. Like,
yeah, that's it, all it, that you expect. That's what we talk about in our nonprofit is, you know, having those empowered, informed choices. And it doesn't matter what the outcome is, as long as you felt like you got heard and you had the experience you needed. And it sounds like with your home birth, it, with all things considered, it might have been better than that, like you said, doped up epidural birth you had with your son.
Oh my gosh, totally. It was, I mean, not to be like cliche, but it was life changing. Like, I mean, it was, I want to have 1 million babies because of it now, because it was just so cool, like, to do it and to know that I could do it.
Mm-hmm. So empowering. Yeah. So empowering. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so cool. Like, I could relive that point over and over again.
I love that.
Just the coolest. Yeah. Coolest feeling ever.
All right. So to wrap this up, we want to end with, how would you describe your home birth experience in just a few words?
Oh, man. I mean, empowering definitely be one of those words.
Okay.
I want to say chill because it was chill, but, like, I wasn't chill.
Right.
Like,
it just, you know, being out of that hospital atmosphere, that hospital environment was probably very relaxing, and just being able
my God, so relaxing. And just to know, like, man, if I was hungry, I could just get what I'm normally used to eating in my own fridge, or I can drink out of my own water bottle, like,
being
that. So
self probably let you be in that space where you were comfortable to be saying the things you were saying and doing the things you were doing. You know, at a hospital, maybe you wouldn't have been that comfortable, and it would have just been added stress for you. Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, Jess was definitely like, I was really surprised. Like, that's how you were. I was like, I mean, me too. Like,
yeah.
Like, you see a lot of calm videos. I was not calm.
Yeah.
But I think that goes to show you, too, that, like, you can be – I definitely felt out of control, even though I knew that, like, it was my body doing the things. I felt out of control, but I would still do it again. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was just such a night and day experience from having an epidural and, like, just having the whole cascade of interventions in the hospital to doing this, you know, waiting for labor to start and waiting for it to actually go somewhere and waiting. And I never got checked. I never got checked once. Like, as soon as I was like, yeah, I can feel the baby, they're like, okay, you're going to have a baby. Like,
wow. That's incredible. Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
thank you. Thank you so much for sharing this story with us. This was
incredible. You're welcome.
This is great for our first, home birth experience.
Okay.
I love this. So thank you again, Michelle, for joining us and sharing your story. And, maybe you'll go on and have more babies, and we'll have more stories to share.
I sure hope so.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Baby Weight Podcast. If you're interested in learning more about Omaha Better Birth Project and our mission and how to support us, please visit us online at www.omahabetterbirth.org. And don't forget to subscribe.